Will you dance or will you die? Will you dance or will you die? What are you going to do, folks?
Dance.
All right, all right. Sounds good, huh? Amen. Let's pray, and we'll get into that, and then we'll get Bonnie back in here, and we'll sing some more. Lord, thank you for today and the blessings of the day. Lord, thank you that you're in charge of the service, and Lord, as always, I just want you to move me out of the way. If you want to do something, I don't want to be in control. I want you to do. Amen. Lord, just take these few words and penetrate our hearts. Soften them right now, Lord. Yes, sir. And let these seeds be planted deep. Let them blossom and grow, and we give you the praise. Lord, thank you that we can walk with you. Thank you that we can talk with you. And Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Will you dance or will you die? It is a fact that some Christians make a point to become involved in the lives of others. Some believe that they are on a mission of correction, straight from the Holy Spirit. For example, have you ever heard the story of a woman whose life was so entwined in others that when she had a near-death experience, someone else's life passed before her eyes? That deserved more of a laugh than I got. God's children are some of the most criticized, but at the same time, the most critical people in the world. Now, I guess we Christians just can't win. Have you ever spent all week being ridiculed by those you're trying to lead to Jesus, and then you go to church only to be admonished by some well-meaning brother or sister reminding you of your not-so-perfect life? All of a sudden, you begin to doubt yourself. You wonder whether or not your witness will ever be effective. It seems that whatever we do in life, there stands a critic. And unfortunately, we find ourselves more often corrected than complimented. Here you are wanting to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, but too often we become discouraged because of the disapproval. So how do you overcome the attacks against you to ensure a positive outcome? Simply determine ahead of time how you will handle your fault finders and their negative comments. When the critics come, when those who disagree continue to discredit you, will you keep on dancing or will you die? King David had to deal with criticism in almost every chapter of the Bible in which he was mentioned. Yet David addressed every reproach with a cool, calm attitude. He was able to chill. I like to chill. I think it's no wonder that God chose him to become the king of Israel if he was laid back. I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And read a couple passages in here. And I'm going to do it in the Message Bible today. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm going to read 12 through 16 and then 20 through 23. All right? You with me, folks?
Yep.
Okay. It was reported to King David that God had prospered Obededom and his entire household because of the chest of God. So David thought, I'll get that blessing for myself, and went and brought up the chest of God from the house of Obededom to the city of David, celebrating extravagantly all the way with frequent sacrifices of choice bulls. David ceremonially dressed in priest linen, danced with great abandon before God. The whole country was with him as he accompanied the chest of God with shouts and trumpet blasts. But as the chest of God came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, happened to be looking out a window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before God, her heart filled with scorn. Now, verse starting with verse 20, if I can get there. David returned home to bless his family. Michal, Saul's daughter, came out to greet him. How wonderfully the king had distinguished himself today, exposing himself to the eyes of the servants' maids like some burlesque street dancer. David replied to Michal, "In God's presence, I'll dance all I want. He chose me over your father and the rest of our family and made me prince over God's people, over Israel. Oh, yes, I'll dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll gladly look like a fool among these maids you're so worried about. I will be honored no end." Michal, Saul's daughter, was barren the rest of her life. This event could be considered as one of the great joys for the nation of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was coming home. The enemy had been conquered. The anointed king was on the throne. And now the Ark, bearing God's law, his provision, and the miracles of God, was returning to Jerusalem. The Ark had been temporarily stored at Obededom's house, who prospered because of the presence of God. But now it was coming back to the place where it belonged, back to Jerusalem. What an exhilarating experience. Everyone is celebrating. Well, almost everyone. At first, you could hear the whispers around town. The Ark is coming home. Then the whispers grew louder as the Ark grew closer. Finally, as the Ark passes through the gates of Jerusalem, the intensity of the crowd swells to a roar. Celebration is on the horizon. Glory is about to fill the city. The Ark has arrived. It's here. It's in Jerusalem. King David enters the gates dancing and leaping, shouting and singing. He is unable to contain himself as the joy erupts within him. At first, the people are shocked to see the king doing such things, but then suddenly the crowd joins in, following their leader's example. David was ecstatic about the Ark of God being returned to Jerusalem. There could be no better occasion for the king to dance than at this very moment. The crescendo of praise is getting louder and louder. Almost everyone is watching with jubilant exhilaration. That is everyone but one lady who is watching out of an upper room window. It is Saul's daughter, Michal, who also happens to be King David's wife. Her countenance does not match that of the revelers below. In fact, she's not happy at all. Not at all. It's easy to see that Michal is suffering from an attitude problem. Michal thinks that any emotional display is reserved for only the lower class citizens. And she feels that dancing and leaping is inappropriate behavior for royalty. After all, David should dispense with this vulgar display in front of his servants and subjects. However, David is beside himself. The Ark has arrived in Jerusalem. He can't control his delight, and he can't stop dancing. Furthermore, David doesn't want to stop. Amen? It's worship time. It's worship time. Saints, there is so much about the presence and power of Almighty God that should thrill us. As we experience the Father's love for us, his constant care and provision, then we must respond with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. Just like King David, there should be times when we just can't contain ourselves. We can't contain the excitement. Too often there are moments in our day that zap our spiritual energy. The normal struggles of life can simply drain us from any spontaneity. What are you going to do when a flood of emotion comes upon you? How will you react when some defeated, dead saint issues you an ultimatum to quit any emotional displays? David danced because his weeping had turned into joy. Here is the ark, indicative of the very presence of God. David's heart was overflowing, so he danced and worshiped and honored his God. Now, David was aware of his position as king. After all, God had chosen him, which is all the more reason for him to dance and dance and dance some more. Amen? The ark was back. God would rule in the city. Things could return to normal. The priesthood could function once again. The people would gather in one place to sacrifice and worship. So David danced. I'm here today because I'm certain there's someone here who needs a little encouragement. Life is filled with experiences that can get you down. Negative people with negative attitudes, ornery folks with ornery behavior, mean-spirited neighbors with mean-spirited comments, and of course the devil, our enemy, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy, taking every opportunity to rob you of your joy in the Lord. In the Old Testament, there were ruthless kings and evil nations. In the New Testament, there were Pharisees. And sad to say, Christianity today also suffers from constant judgment. So folks, if you want to dance, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. But understand, saints, I'm not just referring to the physical act of dancing. Rather, I am referring to your personal attempt to worship your God from your heart, expressing your joy and gratitude for the Lord for everything he's done for you. It really doesn't matter how you do it. Amen? Doesn't matter. If there's anything the enemy would like to steal from us, it is the joy of our salvation and the excitement of living as a child of God. The enemy works to get us caught up in the mundane. He loves it. The normal, ordinary, same old lifestyle. Joy gone, thrill zapped, excitement lost. It is in these dark moments that we must remember Jesus' sacrifice, remember how he suffered those beatings, remember him on dark Calvary's hill. Do you see him bow his head and cry out, "It is finished"? Saints, I was crucified with Jesus. You were crucified with Jesus. The penalty has been paid in full. We have been redeemed, made whole, set free. It's shouting time. It's clapping, jumping, dancing time. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The fact that Jesus' blood covered it all gets me excited. But I guarantee you that all your dancing will cost you the criticism of others. There will always be deadheads wherever you decide to rejoice. And those who feel guilty when they refuse to worship will quickly judge you when you choose to worship. Michal, David's wife, represents the old guard, the ones who saw godly worship as vulgar and undignified. Michal's eyes were focused on others, while David's eyes were focused on God. Michal scoffed, "Kings don't dance." Certainly, David is making a display of himself. Such raw emotion can't be proper for a king. Because you see, King Saul, Michal's father, never danced. So naturally, she assumed that royalty shouldn't be involved in such things. And of course, Michal was concerned about herself, fearful that she might be embarrassed by any talk around town. Regardless, King David didn't care. Royalty or not, he was going to dance. And you're right, Michal. Saul never danced. He threw spears at innocent people. He tried to kill God's anointed. He killed the priest and turned his back on God because of his sin. What a role model Saul was for proper behavior. It's so sad that the way we choose to express our joy will often create misunderstanding. Michal just didn't get it. David wasn't dancing for any show, or so the young maidens would see him, but to celebrate the victory brought on by the hand of God. Amen? David's dance also produced some jealousy in Michal. Because David clearly indicated his love for God was greater than his love for his wife. The result? Conflict. Conflict. Listen, some folks may be jealous when you love God more than you love them. And without a doubt, David's display of affection for the Lord caused problems in their marriage. I believe Michal's attitude on that day resulted in her being barren. She despised David so much that it affected their relationship from that point on, and Michal was barren until death. So folks, you can either dance or die. As a Christian, you have to do one or the other. You can stop dancing for the fear of criticism and misunderstanding, or you can dance before the Lord. You can allow things to hinder you and suppress your heartfelt worship, or you can dance before the Lord and die to your excuses. You can dance because God found you, or you can die because you want it your way. You can dance because God gave you the gift of joy, or you can die because you fail to be thankful for it. You can dance because you have an eternal hope. Or you can die because you only focus on what you don't have. Choice is yours. Dance or die. Worship removes the ego, the pride, the prestige, the self-power, the greed, and the fear. It gives you such freedom that you're unable to control the joy. So dance for the purpose of giving praise. Dance for the glory of His presence. Dance for the forgiveness of your sin. Dance for the freedom from guilt. Dance because of your relationship with Jesus. Dance for the power of His throne. Dance because of the greatness of the Lord. Dance because of the truth of the message. Dance for the hope of your calling. Dance for the promise of heaven. And folks, don't worry about the others. Don't worry about the others. I don't know if there are any professional sport activities going on today, but if there are, at times, as many as 65,000 raving maniacs, screaming, shouting, leaping fans go into an enclosed stadium around Houston, and they don't care how weird they look or how crazy they sound. These folks love their teams, and they are going to do whatever they can do to show it. They feel that they have something to shout about, and that's what they have determined to do. Well, my friends, I do too.
Amen.
I do too. God is so good to me that I want to shout about it. And all I can say, if the critics don't like it, sorry. My God picked me up one day and saved my soul. He gave me hope. Took my sins away. He reserved a place in heaven for me. He has given me everything I need and blessed me more than I could have imagined. So if I want to dance, then I'll dance, bad knees and all. John Newton declared, "I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not even what I hope to be. But by the cross of Christ, I am not what I was." So I'll dance. Why? Listen to this. He supplies strength to the weary. He increases power to the faint. He offers an escape to the tempted. He sympathizes with the hurting. He saves the hopeless. He shields the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless. He gives reason to the meaningless. He gives fulfillment to our emptiness. He gives light in the darkness. He gives comfort in our loneliness. He gives fruit in our barrenness. He gives heaven to the hopeless. And He gives life to the lifeless. So Christian, amen, give Him a hand. So Christian, will you dance or die? You have no other choice. You dance before the King of Kings. Will you choose to be like King David? Do you find yourself more like his wife, Michael? Are you going to dance or die? Paul said in Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, he said, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The words honor and glory forever in this verse means for you, the believer, to give God what is due to Him forever. Amen. to give him your praise and adoration and love forever. The whole purpose of coming before the Lord of Lords is to praise him. You honor him, to live in recognition of his splendor and his glory. How do we praise? Lifting up our hearts and hands, exalting the Lord with our voices, singing his praises, dancing before the throne. It is the occupation of those who dwell in the kingdom. Amen? It is the occupation of those who dwell in the kingdom. Praise is the highest calling for any believer. Wow. Wow. So what happens when we fail to praise our Lord? We die. What happens when we praise him with our whole heart? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We live. In God's word, we recognize that Jesus sits on the throne and that he is the Savior of the world. Those facts alone should move us to rejoice even more. Think of it this way. Sin puts you in prison. Sin locked you behind the bars of guilt, shame, deception, and fear. Sin did nothing but shackle you to a wall of misery. You are not forgiven or accepted by a holy God. Then Jesus came, and he paid your bail. He stepped in and served your time. He satisfied your penalty of death and set you free. If you are a non-believer without Jesus this morning, the only way to be set free from the prison of sin is for you, if you are righteous, to serve his penalty. And folks, the penalty is death. Justice demands that someone righteous has to die, either you or a heaven-sent substitute to take your place. Brothers and sisters, you cannot leave sin's prison until there's a sacrifice of death that pays the price for your freedom. This death pays for all of your transgressions.
He is our eternal life.
So when Jesus died on Calvary as your substitute, you died to cover sin's claim on your life. When Jesus died on Calvary as your substitute, you died to cover sin's claim on your life. You are now free in him. You now live in hope. You can serve thankfully. You can give freely. And you can dance joyfully. Amen? I died once when I surrendered to Jesus. I don't ever want to die like that again. Folks, the choice is either dance or die in the presence of the King. I choose to dance. I choose to dance. I would like to have heard some of the conversations around King David's dinner table. And I can't help but think that Michael just became bitter. And it was because she missed it. She just missed it. The Ark of the Covenant was so important to those Jewish people. And she missed the importance of it. She missed what it meant for that thing, that box to come back into Jerusalem. David didn't. He got a hold of that truth. And he couldn't help but rejoice. Wow. Wow. You know, when they moved that thing, if I remember right, I think I do, they'd move it like for, I don't know, 3 or 6 paces. 6 steps. Then they'd have to re-sacrifice to God. So I don't know how far away from Jerusalem it was, but this ain't nothing but tedious work bringing that golden box to Jerusalem. Yeah, yeah. That was God's law concerning that moving that thing. And I don't think it was light. It was a golden box. It had to be heavy on these men's shoulders. And every 6 steps, you stop and sacrifice, build a fire. Think of the time that it took to move that Ark of the Covenant. Had to have a herd of cows with them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to have a big herd.
Yeah. So I think, you know, David's joy was worked up. It's just about done. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're almost there. And wherever that ark was, blessings came. Blessings came for the Jewish people. It was a curse to any of the other countries. But for the Jewish people, it was a blessing. I can just, you know, in my mind's eye, just picture the excitement, this labor, this intense labor, bringing that ark to the town, to the city, and then just getting there. It had designated people, probably priests, yeah, that had to carry it on their shoulder. You couldn't touch it.
It was the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
Not the priests, the Levites.
Yeah, but that's the priestly nation. That's where they came from. Yeah. So he danced. Well, I can see it. Now, I want to tell you. There's critics. There's people that want you as sad as they are. People want you in the pit with them. If I'm lying, I'm dying.
And you're not dying because you're dancing.
We know someone specifically.
I'm not dying, I'm dancing. But the thing we need to do is get a little step. Get a little step. Take a little dance step. Because don't, please folks, don't let that take you down. The only person that knows everything about you is God.
Amen.
The rest of us don't have any business making comments, being critical.
Sometimes
we don't.
We wish he didn't know as much about us as
he. Yeah. So Bonnie's going to come. We're going to sing a couple more songs. Amen. Can we do that? Amen. Brother?
Can I just say something?
Sure.
You saw what happened to Michael. But to tell you how God looked at